Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I meet with military veterans to discuss their civilian career, what they do, how they got there, and advice for other veterans. Today is episode number 156 with LaRue Robinson.
Think ahead. I guess I would explain it as kind of thinking about where you would like to be in 15 to 20 years and working backwards from there.
Well, my guest today, LaRue, managed to find a role at one of the most profitable law firms in the United States. He talks about what it's like to work at a law firm, the common career paths associated with this sort of role, and advice about the interview and application process for legal firms. Now, LaRue did serve as a JAG Corps officer while in the military, so some of his advice towards the end is tailored to JAG Corps officers. However, even if you're not currently in the JAG, if you're considering a career in the law, this is a great episode to listen to. As always, at beyondtheuniform.io, you'll find show notes, you'll find everything we discuss here, you'll find links to events and other resources for your civilian career. If you are enjoying the show, I'd greatly appreciate a paused review on iTunes. Thanks, and let's dive into my conversation with LaRue. Joining me today in Chicago, Illinois, is LaRue Robinson. LaRue, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thanks, happy to be here.
So to give listeners some context, just a brief background, LaRue is an associate at Jenner & Block, which is one of the 50 most profitable law firms in the United States. He started out at Cornell University, after which he attended Columbia Law School. He served in the Army as a JAG Corps officer for 4 years prior to starting his career as an associate at Byron Cave. To start things off, could you take us through what your transition was like going from the Army into corporate law?
Sure. So when I first started in the JAG Corps, I knew I wanted to serve, but I also didn't really envision myself, making a career out of the Army. I come from, a family that has a number of people that have served. So as I was navigating through my career, I kind of thought about that a little bit in terms of different assignments that I took and tried to build up a skill base that would translate to the private sector. So when I did transition out, it was a fairly easy transition, but there were certain challenges to it. I would say the most challenging part is just the completely different environment that you're in. Obviously, when you work in private practice, there's the whole aspect of billable hours, having to think about that and put your time in every day. There's also the challenge of the different environment in that. Much bigger offices, much bigger, the law firms themselves are much bigger. In the JAG Corps, your work, there might be about, a big office may have, 30 lawyers in it. So everyone knows everyone really well. In a law firm, big law firms offices can have, 200, sometimes they can be up to 500 lawyers in an office. Kind of navigating that environment was probably one of the most difficult challenges. I would say some of the good things about the transition over were the ability to focus on one specific area of law. In the JAG Corps, one of the things that they really stress is they want broadly skilled judge advocates. So every 2 years, you're switching into a different area of law. You might be a trial counsel for a couple years, then you'll go and do operational law, then you'll do administrative law. So you don't really get to focus on one specific area. Whereas when I left, I was able to say, okay, I like commercial litigation. This is what I want to focus my career on. So I appreciated that. I also, enjoyed the ability to kind of set roots in one city and build, my practice and, you know, in that location.
That's great. And, you know, maybe to back up a little bit, if you were talking to someone on active duty, and let's say that they're not even a lawyer yet, how would you explain what you do for a living? And also, if you could take us through kind of what your day-to-day life looks like. I know a lot of listeners have commented that they really like hearing the nitty-gritty, like what time you get into the office, what sorts of things you're doing, what time you leave. So whatever detail you'd be comfortable sharing.
Sure. Yeah, so in terms of how I explain what I do, there's two main pieces to my work. First is complex commercial litigation. So, you know, in the military context, there's court martials, which, you know, are always the government against, you know, versus an individual. What I do, it's trials and you know, in litigation similar to that, but instead of, you know, it being me representing the government against an individual, it's I'm representing, you know, most often it's, you know, an organization or a corporation against another, you know, large corporation. For the most part, that's the litigation that I'm involved in. So, you know, some of the pieces of that are the same, where, you know, you start with the discovery period, you interview, you develop the facts and your theory of the case, and then, you know, sometimes it goes all the way, if it doesn't settle before, it goes all the way to trial. The other piece of what I do is investigation. So in the military, there's, you know, the 15-6 investigations. What I do is similar. It's similar to that, but instead of, you know, investigating internally in a, you know, military unit, it's investigating internally a corporation. So they might have an issue that, you know, the government may be looking into an issue that they want clarity on, or it's an issue that comes up just, you know, that someone brings to their attention, and, you know, they could be a big, you know, big issue for that company. So, you know, they'll hire our firm, and we'll come in and interview people and develop a report and, you know, and figure out what happened and give recommendations on how to handle those situations. In terms of my day to day, I actually, so it's pretty funny. When I first left the Army, I thought that I wasn't going to, you know, get up early and do, like, you know, something similar to PT. I was like, you know, I'm out of the Army, I'm just going to, you know, work out later in the day, do whatever I want. But then, now I've been out for 3 years, I've actually come back around. So, my days actually started off with me, you know, working out at about, you know, 6:15. Then I have two small children, so I, you know, me and my wife, we get them ready, I drop them off. Then I, you know, get in the office, I usually try to draft up a to-do list of things that I have to do for the day. So in terms of what I do, it depends on what stage my cases are in. If I am in, you know, the initial phase, just where we're trying to build facts, my days might involve, you know, interviewing clients, you know, looking at some of the key documents that they provided us. If we're a little bit further along in the discovery phase, we might be, you know, just drafting requests or for interrogatories, which are really just questions you're asking the other side to get more information about their case, requests for documents for them, and, you know, maybe talking to them over the phone. Usually there's small little fights about, you know, what's going to be turned over, what's not, so talking to them about that. Then if it's closer to the trial stage, that's when we get into the trial preparations, which involve, you know, prepping your witnesses on the key documents and things that you want them to, you know, to discuss it at trial, helping them refine their own story, and, you know, developing that case strategy, and then there's the trial, which, you know, that's where you're just kind of working around the clock 24/7 on that stuff. But in terms of the day-to-day, so in terms of what I do, it differs based on what stage of the case. But I get in the office around 9. Then I sometimes, usually I just, grab food real quick with a friend at work, and then you come back and work. But sometimes I'll go out to lunch on business development type things to meet with potential or current clients of the firm. And then I leave the office around 6:30, around that range. Most nights I go home and have dinner with the family, and then after the kids are asleep, I might log back onto my computer and do some more work. But then there's other nights, I would say probably about once a week, I'm on some boards, so we have meetings that I have to attend, at least once a week or so. I'm usually, I'm usually in bed by probably like 11, and then, back at it again.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's a great description of what that day-to-day life looks like. And you had mentioned, it sounds like the time when you're in trial is a little bit more crazy. Is that literally like, you're in at 9 and you're there till midnight or 1 in the morning, like 6 days a week? Or what does that look like for a trial?
Yeah, so I guess I'll explain kind of how my last trial worked. We had a trial in San Jose, California, where we basically, so our firm has an interesting, and I'm sure a lot of firms do this, but we essentially created a war room we took a suite of this hotel that they were staying in and basically turned it into an office, brought in desks, essentially computers, phones, everything. It was essentially like we were still in the office. So when we were out there, we were out there for about 4 weeks. And we would wake up in the morning, work on whatever we need to work on, build up to the day the trial started, which again, as I said, would involve talking to the witnesses, talking about, the strategy of who to put on first, what to discuss with them, different, motions in limine, which is when you decide what evidence you don't want brought into the trial, you want excluded. So, discuss what motions you want there. There's usually a trial brief. So working on that, basically tying together all those pieces. So there's just so much work that it tends to be kind of an all-encompassing, like consuming experience during that time. But the thing is, as a litigator, if you like trials, that's kind of the peak. I would compare it to, if you're a pro football player, pro athlete, like when you're in the playoffs, the trial is the playoffs. Like that's like when, the rubber meets the road, and like this is, make or break time. So you kind of, it's very busy, but it's also a very exciting time to finally see all your work come together at the end.
That's great. What about, I wanted to learn a little bit about the tracking hours process, because it sounds like that's a difference from when you were in the military. What is that like? My understanding is you track your hours in 6-minute increments. And so what has that been like of actually detailing down what you're doing and when?
Yeah, that's a good question. It is something, that you have to, that takes some getting used to. Everyone has different strategies, but for me, what I do is I just use, on Microsoft Office, there's this little kind of like yellow sticky notepad on the side, and I just throughout the day I just take notes on that about what I'm doing. So if I'm had a meeting for like 45 minutes, I just put like 0.8 or whatever the proper number is for that, and just kind of track what I'm doing throughout the day. And then it's very important to kind of get your hours on time, in on time. That's what a lot of firms are focusing on, just because if you don't get your hours in, then you can't obviously send out anything to the client about what about, you know, how much hours were spent on certain cases. So that so I at least the notes I do on a daily basis, I don't put it in the tracking system on a daily basis, even though I think I might actually I think our firm is working towards like getting us to do that. But we have to put in our hours at a minimum of twice a month. So around, you know, the 15th, and also around the first of the month. So yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's not the most glamorous process, but you know, it does kind of keep you honest, because, you know, if there's things that you know you need to be working on, and then, you know, you put in your hours and you're like, oh, I didn't work on that today, then it kind of inspires you to get on that for the next day. So it actually can be good for organizational purposes.
That's great. And one of the things you had said earlier is that it sounds like while you were in the JAG Corps, you had a lot of variety. You were able to switch around and do a lot of different types of activities. When you left the Army, how did you choose what type of law you wanted to go into?
Yeah, so I actually carried over some of the things I did in the JAG Corps. My last year in the JAG Corps, I worked as a trial counsel or a prosecutor. So I was doing litigation, but just in a criminal context as opposed to civil litigation. So I developed a lot of trial skills there, you know, and interview skills that are pretty similar to the trial skills that you would need in the civil litigation context. So that's one of the things I did. And then earlier on in my JAG Corps career, I did investigations work, and I also did labor employment work. I've actually carried on doing, you know, some of those things as well too. So for me, it was about kind of when I was in the JAG Corps, I tried to pick jobs that I was interested in. So for me, it was easy when I came out, because I just kept doing, you know, some of the same things, but just in the private sector as opposed to in the JAG Corps.
That's great. And I want to, I know you've been very helpful in answering a lot of JAG Corps officers' questions about, you know, how to make the transition. I want to get into that in a second, but one other question I had, just for anyone on active duty that might be thinking of becoming an attorney and, you know, all of these things, could you lay out kind of what is the typical career paths? And my, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, my loose understanding is like one would be to remain at your firm and work your way up to become a partner, and then one might be jumping off and going in-house at a company. But if you could maybe lay out what are the broad stroke careers, and then maybe what it might look like from an associate to partner at a firm like Jenner & Block.
Sure. So yeah, I mean, you're right about a couple of the career paths. One is, you know, is staying at a law firm, you know, working your way up to, you know, and to be promoted to partner and work your way up, you know, become equity partner and, you know, continue on that path. Another path would be, you know, deciding to work in-house. A lot of times people at law firms will work in-house. Many times it's often for clients that they've already worked for while they're at the law firm. Other times they go to, you know, other areas or different clients. So they just become in-house lawyers and focus on that one client and do, you know, whatever their legal issues are. A couple other career paths may involve one could be doing government work. For, you know, a lot of veterans, you have a leg up in getting government jobs because, you know, they consider the fact that you're a veteran and you already, you know, show your interest in public sector work. So there are some lawyers, especially litigators, who will go back and be federal prosecutors, or you know, or district attorneys, state attorneys, things like that. So and then there's other government jobs that aren't even, that are completely different from being prosecutors. You could, work for like the Department of Labor, or work for even like ATF or FBI or something like that. So I have friends in the JAG Corps who have, you know, taken, you know, those paths, as well. Other things that people do, I mean, people do go into nonprofit work. At Jenner, we're actually the number one firm in the country when it comes to pro bono hours per attorney. So I know a lot of attorneys in my firm have left and gone into nonprofit and public interest related work, because certain pro bono work that they've done has sparked their interest in specific areas of need when it comes to public interest stuff. There's other attorneys that have left and, run for office and, been politicians and, done things like that. So, there are a lot of different options. In terms of staying at a law firm and going from associate to partner, it's kind of an individualized process, and it depends firm to firm. If you're coming from the military, if you're coming from basically anything that's not a law firm and going into a law firm, it might take a little bit longer, just because, the firm wants to give you that ramp up time to really, transition well and understand and fit into that environment. It can be 8 years, it can be 10 years. I think it depends. It's a firm to firm basis. But if you lateral in, go ahead.
I'm just wondering, what are some of the maybe it's just restricting it to Jenner and Block. You're an associate right now. Is there like a progression of titles to partner, or like what does an associate become after a certain amount of time?
Sure. So in terms of the progression, you start off as a junior associate, then it goes from junior to mid-level associate, and then you're a senior associate. That's where I am now. And as a senior associate, you're expected to kind of take, more ownership over your cases and be involved with, the primary person for, at the associate level in terms of case management and things like that. From senior associate, you would be the next promotion from there would be partner. A lot of firms have either a single tier partnership or a two tiered partnership. If it's two tiered, which Jenner is, you start off as a non-equity partner, and then I think it's a minimum of maybe 3 to 5 years or however long. From there, you would then be considered to be an equity partner. That's the typical progression at most firms.
This is great. And, I wanted to transition a little bit and talk about, how might someone get into this type of career. And, I know that you've helped a lot of different JAG Corps officers. I'm curious, what advice do you have when it comes to preparing one's resume?
Sure. The very first thing to do is to do what I call civilianize your resume. A lot of times we, in the military, we use there's so much military jargon, so many code words and phrases for things that people in the civilian world just frankly don't understand. So you want to think of analogies for the things that you're doing that are relevant to the private sector. So in the legal context, one of the things I tell people is, simple things. Instead of saying court-martial, say trial. Instead of saying separation board, say administrative proceeding. Just small things like, in a court-martial, a jury is called a panel. Instead of saying panel, say jury. So things like that can make really big differences in how much your resume resonates. Because one of the things I'll say about the legal world is when they hire people, they really want to know that you have experience that is relevant to them, mm-hmm. especially if you're coming in, if you're coming in after being a lawyer for a few years in the JAG Corps. So you're not, you know, just someone fresh out of law school that they can just mold into whoever they, you know, whatever type of lawyer they want to mold you into. They want to know that they're hiring someone that whose experience is, while they may not be exactly the same, there's at least some, you know, relevance there, some things that can carry over. So, you know, in terms of your resume, I just think it's important to make sure, you know, you're using words that people in the civilian world can really understand.
That's great. What are, you know, in the people you've come across, what are some common questions you get from people in the military, and what are some kind of common answers you give to them about making this transition successfully?
So the common questions that I get, people are really curious in what types of jobs they're competitive for. And for that, I tell people it really does come down to what types of experiences you've had and what types of things you've done while in the JAG Corps. I think you know, being a prosecutor, being a trial counsel, something like that is something that is very marketable to the civilian world. There's other areas such as government contracts is a really, really great one. That's I've seen a lot of people have a lot of success getting hired in the private sector just because, you know, if you work in the military and do government contracts, you can really become a subject matter expert on that in a way that, you know, people in the civilian world, they can't as early on in their careers. So first I talk to people about what they've done. And then we go from there and figure out, okay, this is what you've done, and how do we sell what you've done to employers, and, you know, fit you and fit those experiences into, you know, specific job opportunities. So that's one of the main questions. One of the other things I talk to people about is, you know, When you're in the military and you've kind of been traveling all around, a lot of people aren't really that clear on like where they want to settle and what city do they want to live in. So I talk to people about, you know, some of the different opportunities that may be available in different cities and how to kind of, you know, navigate that and who to contact and. Because you basically don't want a situation where you're essentially just, you know, kind of like applying to places in 100 different cities, because it's going to be a taxing process. And also the cities themselves and the employers they're going to be skeptical of you because they're not going to think that you're actually committed to working and staying in their city. So I would say those are some of the two most common questions that I get asked.
Is there, I'm curious with, you know, you spoke about this previously a little bit, but it's like, there's been a lot of adjustments from the JAG Corps to becoming a civilian attorney. I'm curious, if there's any other thoughts you have on advantages or ways in which having served in the Army has helped you in your civilian career. And I'm also curious, some of the anything else you'd want to add around, like, what are some of the more jarring transitions that you know didn't really apply to you in the military, but then when you've started your civilian career now is like a very different different situation.
Sure. I would say in terms of something that the military was extremely helpful with when I transitioned was just so. To give some background, my last assignment when I was a prosecutor, at that time, I was only 4.5 years out of law school. And I was the primary legal advisor to a brigade commander. So, you know, having, you know, going to his staff meetings, you know, and being the only lawyer in the room, you know, weekly, I think we had weekly or biweekly meetings, you know, in his office with him and his CSM, and just kind of talking through legal issues, it allowed me to get experiences basically advising very senior people very early on in my career. And I think that's been a very big advantage to me, as opposed if I'd started a law firm and I wouldn't get that kind of contact like as early on. So it's made me very comfortable in talking to senior people at our clients, you know, general counselors or whoever else, and, you know, feeling comfortable and confident in terms of giving them legal advice. Now, on the flip side, I would say in terms of the what's jarring, just in the, so in the JAG Corps, you are the master of your cases, and there's usually not very large teams. I mean, we had a couple trials that where we had, you know, some, you know, larger teams for the JAG Corps where we had three prosecutors working on a case. That was the largest case that I worked on. In the private sector, you might have an investigation where there's literally, you know, 40, 50 people at the firm, if not more, working on that. So what one of the jarring things was just getting used to, you know, working with much larger teams on cases and investigations, and just kind of thinking about more globally about where I fit in and how to kind of, you know, take ownership over that and you know, manage aspects of that. So I think that was probably one of the most, you know, if not the most jarring thing. And I think that would be the same for a lot of people who left active duty and went into a private law firm, a big law firm.
And I always like to ask about resources, you know, particularly books or conferences or, I don't know, podcasts, anything that really helps you in your civilian career that you would recommend to someone listening to the show who might be interested in this as a career path.
Sure. So I'm assuming you mean other than your show.
always beyond the uniform for sure. But if they've listened to hundreds of hours of my content, they want to try something, some inferior product out, definitely.
Okay. Yeah. So some of the resources that I recommend, Task and Purpose, they have some. It's a website that's veterans focused and military focused, and has some good articles on there about that tend to be career related. So I'd recommend that. In terms of the legal world, I would recommend there's a lot of research that needs to be done in terms of learning how law firms are different and, you know, the different culture and things like that. I would recommend Chambers and Partners for learning about practices, different practice areas, and what firms have the different reputation of different firms in different practice areas. Basically, that website, you can look by city and state and look at every practice group, and it's essentially clients who have given comments on each of the firms and, you know, what the quality of the lawyers at certain firms. So I found that to be a very helpful resource when I was just looking to see kind of what are the better practices in certain cities and things like that. Chambers also has a Chambers Associate part, which is where they interview associates and they ask them questions about the firm, and they kind of do a write-up about the different culture and, you know, how many hours are required and different clients, things like that. I found that to be helpful. In terms of military-specific conferences, the Judge Advocate Association, they actually hold every year a something called Jobs for JAGS, and it was actually hosted at Jenner's office in D.C. I think last year, where they essentially, anyone who's in the JAG Corps can come to that, and it's different people giving them advice on how to navigate a career when they're transitioning out of the JAG Corps, and all types of good stuff about that. There's also a veterans legal career fair that I think has been held the last like 2 or 3 years. That was sponsored by the law firm Orrick, and they and so that's a really good resource because it essentially brings a ton of employers, into a conference room, and veterans can come to that and, have an opportunity to talk to all these different people, different people and, corporations that are interested in hiring vets. So I would definitely look into that. And then, the most underrated resource of all is one's own network. We being people who are in the military or have recently left the military, we know people that are in similar boats, whether they're people that have left before us or people that are looking to leave. So I think first and foremost, people should look to their own networks and talk to people who have been successful in transitioning and, get advice and tips from them on how to make that transition. Oh, the last resource I'll mention is in terms of researching law firms, there's something called NALP, NALP directory, and you can actually go on there and it's another website that lists a lot of different legal employers, and you can look at some very detailed numbers on law firms, and it also includes a number on there as to how many veterans are at the law firm. So if someone's looking to go to a law firm that has a strong veterans community, that could be a good resource to find out that information.
This is fantastic. And for listeners, as always, I'll add in the show notes, I'll add links to Chambers and Partners and Task and Purpose and everything that LaRue has mentioned. But I think this is a really helpful source of information. And it's great that there's a lot of transparency around this. I imagine that's helpful just to dig into a lot of that company-specific information, firm-specific information to learn more about what it's like there.
Absolutely.
I always like to leave fair bit of space at the end just to kind of be a little bit more open-ended. And I appreciate the detail you've given to those thinking of a career in law, as well as those who are in the JAG and seeking to transition to a civilian career in the legal practice. But I know there's things I probably haven't asked about that you'd like to share. And so I'd like to just kind of make room and give you the floor to share anything else that we haven't covered so far.
So the only thing that I would say, I would so two things. I would really stress that people think ahead. I guess I would explain it as kind of thinking about where you would like to be in 15 to 20 years and working backwards from there. And I think I want to just harp on the point that I mentioned earlier, which was about your actual assignments. In the JAG Corps, if you don't if you're not planning to make a career out of it, you should really think about getting the type working to try to get the types of assignments and doing the kind of work that can really help you succeed and be marketable when you leave the JAG Corps. Because there's certain areas in the JAG Corps that while are incredibly important and incredibly important to our national security. And in a number of other ways, they may not be as conducive to transitioning successfully. And so, like, for instance, you know, you can work on rule of law issues, you know, on deployments and things like that. Very important work. I would not tell anyone not to do that work, because obviously that work is very important and very needed. But if you want to do that work, maybe think about doing that. And then in your next assignment, you know, be a trial counsel, do government contracts, do something that will help you, you know, make that transition. And then the other thing, talking to people who may be listening who aren't in the JAG Corps and, you know, maybe in the military doing something else, I think it could be helpful for you to, if you're thinking about going to law school, talk to people, you know, stop in your, you know, your, stop into the legal office and talk to the JAGs there and, you know, talk to them about law school and what they do, and think about if that's the path, you know, that's right for you. And think about whether that, you know, whether that, that kind of fits into what you see yourself doing down the road. And, you know, also, there's also that the FLEP program, I know, in the Army, where the Army can cover your law school costs. So, you know, if you really want to do law, consider doing something like that. I think you serve for a few years in the JAG Corps after that. You know, consider those options. And it's all about kind of planning backwards and thinking about where you want to be and how you can get yourself there.
I think it's really great, because this is a field that I know very little about. And so it's helpful to have someone who's been on both sides, and the active duty side and now on the civilian side, explaining this to, I imagine, a lot of vets who might be interested in law, and then a lot of JAG Corps officers who want to figure out how to navigate that. So I really appreciate your time and advice today.
No problem. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Surface. Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with LaRue. You know, we've talked a lot in other interviews about consulting and how it's a background that opens a lot of doors and certainly doesn't close any. One of the things I like about this thought of going through with law school is that is similarly a degree that can be applied in a wide spectrum of careers, as LaRue spoke about. So I hope you enjoyed that. If you do think of going to law school and you haven't already done so, I would recommend checking out Service to School. They provide great and free resources for veterans and figuring out where to go to school. And I hope you enjoyed the show. I'll be back next week with more interviews with military veterans about their civilian career. Take care.